This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Russell Wilson, a smorgasbord of cringiness. We got some baseball news. Number one, Sean Manaea's MRI came back clean over the last few days, and without us knowing, he's been throwing again. And so basically, spring training has restarted for Sean Manaea. That's a best-case scenario. So there's certainly a chance we'll see him in the middle of April, and he'll be ready to go. Now, if you recall, I was blamed as being a jinx, because when Carlos Mendoza joined
Carlos Mendoza!
He was on our show, and I said to him, are you ready to announce Sean Manaea as the opening day starter? And he said, listen, we got a lot of time before opening day. It's too soon. And obviously, Sean got hurt. Well, we are now less than 2 weeks away until opening day. So it is finally time for Carlos Mendoza to announce an opening day starter. We're about to hear from the manager. But before we do, Tiki Barber, any guesses on who is getting the nod to start opening day for the New York Mets?
I'm going to say it is Kodai Senga.
He is going with Kodai Senga, who, by the way, is scheduled to pitch tonight in a spring training game on SNY, which is why we'll be on TV a little bit earlier today between 3:30 and 5:30. Well, Carlos Mendoza, the floor is yours, sir.
So who's your opening day starter?
Clay Holmes.
Oh, come on.
Why?
And Senga, he's not like Senga. Senga's
like third or something.
Yeah, we'll see where we are. You know, he's got a pitch today. Let's go one outing at a time. Clay Holmes, he earned it. He earned it. We like what we're seeing. I know it's a small sample size here, but it's very encouraging. He really put himself in a really good position. Showed up here early in camp, he was ahead of everyone. But again, I think it's more like the way he's looked so far, making that transition, and we're comfortable with him.
So there you go.
I should have said Clay Holmes. I don't know why I didn't say Clay Holmes.
I'm surprised.
Right, last week I said he's going to win the Cy Young.
Right? You did,
Why did I not? You know why I didn't?
Why?
Because I think, like Aaron Boone, like how does this line up? Is he where is he at right now with opening day 2 weeks away? How does this line up?
Oh, how do the days fall?
Fall? Which is and speaking of that, think how different Aaron Boone is from Carlos Mendoza. They worked on the same staff for a long time.
Yeah.
Aaron Boone gives us a bunch of nonsense about non-answers.
Right.
Non-answered nonsense when asked about who's going to be the opening day starter. Based on where a guy lines up and, what's his pitching days like, and we'll see how this thing times its way out. Whereas Carlos Mendoza's like, Clay Holmes. He earned it. He's a stud. He's awesome. Yeah. He deserves to be the opening day star. That, I was like, dude.
That part of it, because there is a lot of shock factor to this. And despite how good Clay Holmes has pitched in spring training.
Which has been exceptional.
He's been great. He's been great. But let's take a step back for a second. If I would have told you 6 months ago that Yankees closer, he lost his closer's job.
Yes.
Yankee reliever Clay Holmes is going to sign with the Mets as a starting pitcher. And then he's going to pitch on opening day.
Right.
You would have thought I had 10 heads.
Right. And he earned pitching. It's not there was an injury and the way that things lined up. He just happens to be the starter that's going to fall in line for opening day. Carlos Mendoza is saying he was the best pitcher we have in camp.
Well,
he earned it.
When you look at spring training, and obviously, look, Sean Manaea's injury did impact it, but it was so early on in spring. Who knows? Who knows what his plan was for opening day? I tried to get it out of him 3 weeks ago. He didn't give us an answer. But you look at the amount of innings David Peterson's thrown, Kodai Senga's thrown, Paul Blackburn, Griffin Canning, and Clay Holmes, and you forget their resumes. Just forget their resumes. You just look at what they've done in spring training. He's right.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes has earned it. Now, I don't know if that's the number one reason he's given them the opening day start, but when he says he earned it, if you look at the way he's performed in spring training, he has, and maybe it's also a message to Clay. Clay Holmes is trying a big career change this year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so here's Mendoza saying, you know what, Patty? I'm going to give you opening day.
I'm going to empower you.
I'm going to empower you. You're going to be matched up with the other aces, in this case, Framber Valdez, and you're getting the opening day start. And for any Met fan, or Yankee fan who wants to mock the Mets, I'm going to be consistent about this because we talked about this a few days ago with the Yankees. Opening day is symbolism. It doesn't mean anything other than that.
Right.
So my reaction to Clay Holmes starting opening day, okay, great. Like, it doesn't affect me one way or the other because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it may mean something in the short term for Clay, and it's an accomplishment, but I'm saying as a fan, it doesn't mean anything.
I would argue against that, though. I would say it does mean something. It means that Carlos Mendoza might be saying, Clay Holmes, I want you to be our ace.
Yeah, but I don't look at it that way.
I know, but I'm not saying that you are, but maybe he is.
Well,
because he said he's earned it. I mean, there was very little ambiguity about how he felt about Clay Holmes.
Right.
Like, now maybe he's just blowing smoke just to make him feel good, right? Make Clay Holmes feel empowered, as you mentioned a little bit earlier. But maybe he actually feels that way.
Who started opening day for the Mets last year?
I don't even know.
Tommy, do you remember?
Of course not.
Of course not.
No, I don't remember.
Hold on, let me think for a second.
I don't remember things like that.
Was it Seve?
Was
it Severino?
It was, and how could we forget? It was, what's his face?
McGill?
With the guy. Yeah, no.
Peterson?
You know the guy. No, come on, Teak. We had lunch with him the other day.
I'm not
come on.
Anything.
You don't remember? Somebody feed me this, please. It was.
I'm not feeding anybody. I know the answer. I want to see if you guys remember.
It's beyond obvious at this point.
Tommy has no idea.
No one will lead us.
Tommy has no idea. The point is not to make anyone look bad. It's the point that it's memorable.
Who was it?
Jose Quintana.
Oh.
But my point is, all right, let's take this back further. 2022, a year
but why? Okay, so hold on, stop.
Why what?
Why was it Jose Quintana last year?
Who else should it have been?
Exactly. That's the point.
Who should have started coming into the season last year? The entire rotation was new. He was the only guy coming back. He was the veteran.
So there wasn't a symbolism. There wasn't he earned it.
No.
It wasn't like he just said with Clay
Holmes. I'm going to be honest with you. So the only time to me in my lifetime that this does matter, that there's a symbolism to it, is when it is a true, true ace. So Jacob DeGrom mattered to me.
Right.
Dwight Eugene Gooden mattered to me.
Yeah, I think but Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole's an unquestioned ace. When he's healthy, he's the opening day starter, and I can see why that would matter to mm-hmm. you. But I think when you're dealing with kind of this new Met world that we're living in, and really ever since Jake left, because even with Scherzer and Verlander, I was like, I don't have no...
Right, I don't care.
I don't care, and they're not who they used to be anyway.
Yeah.
So I didn't even care then. When they were debating between Verlander and Scherzer. Do you guys remember who started that opening day? I actually don't because I think they both got hurt.
Verlander definitely got hurt, but he got hurt on opening day, so he wasn't the opening day starter.
It was definitely not. Verlander didn't pitch till like a month
right.
later.
I think it was Max. Scherzer. I think it was Max.
And the year before that, 2022, you know, started opening day?
No.
Tylor McGill.
Yeah, I actually do remember that.
So when there isn't an obvious guy, and I love Kodai Senga, don't get me wrong, Kodai was great in 2023. He hasn't earned that yet either. So I kind of look at opening day as it's just not moving me on that kind of honor. Now, as far as Clay's concerned, congrats to him. I want to warn my fellow Met fans about something. Tommy already probably feels it. The Met fan is going to get mocked mercifully by the Yankee fan.
Why?
Clay Holmes is starting opening day. What a loser rotation.
But I think he's actually going to do very well.
I think he's going to do well as well, but that's not going to stop the Yankee fan from mocking Clay Holmes pitching on opening day.
Well, they can mock him, but if they're wrong because he pitches, I don't know, six innings and gives up one run, then who's mocking who?
Well, look, if Clay has a great year, Tommy gets the ultimate victory, because remember he has that bet with Sean Morash, who's going to have a better year, Clay Holmes versus Max Fried. And if you ever won that one, that's a huge win, because it was so, like, crazy to even suggest at the time.
Yeah.
And you got a long way to go. You haven't done anything yet. I mean, yeah. The season hasn't started, and we're not looking at spring training as any kind of a factor. But, yeah, if Clay has a great year, Met fans will get the last laugh. I'm just warning the Met fan that as this news trickles out that Clay Holmes is the Mets opening day starter, in fact, I haven't even looked yet. I'm about to check. This is my test. I'm going to check the Twitter feed of my coworker, Keith McPherson. Do you think he has trolled the Mets about Clay Holmes?
No.
14 seconds ago.
KM to AM.
He retweets FAN, Clay Holmes is the opening day starter.
Yep.
And Keith's tweet is, many predicted this, on brand.
Oh.
That's a mocking! He's
why
mocking
is that,
us!
Why is that mocking?
I mean, what does that mean then?
On your brand?
Yeah, on brand.
Means
it's on brand for the Mets to have Clay Holmes be the opening day starter.
To take a Yankee and then try to, I don't know, elevate him.
So is that Tommy?
Just like Seve last year?
Tommy, is this not a... By the way, Keith's every right to do it. I'm just warning Met fans that Yankee fans are going to do it. So I appreciate that Keith, without even getting a signal from me, is already playing along with this. But that is a mocking.
Yeah, this is my thinking, if I'm thinking like Keith here. Couple weeks till opening day. This is like his... On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest troll, this is 5, and you build up to 10 for opening day. You don't want to give your 10 here today. Right. You build it up.
But yeah. this is a troll, and
no,
all
course.
I'm saying
which is fine.
Keith is going to represent a lot of Yankee fans who
definitely
are going to take this opportunity that Clay Holmes has been announced as the opening day starter to mock the Mets and Met fans. Now, I will help you out with this. You could just chuckle and say, yeah, who cares? Because at the end of the day, the results are going to determine this. Clay Holmes has to go out and have a good year. And I'm with you, Tiki. I've gained confidence. That's why we're making that Clay Holmes Cy Young bet.
Yes.
But so far, he hasn't done anything. As great as his spring training has been, Tommy doesn't even watch spring training. So you can't count it for Clay Holmes and not count it for everything else that's happened. So you're disqualified from counting spring training.
All I know is Clay Holmes is the opening day starter and Max Fried is not. So it says 1-0 Loogie in the first inning, and he's been lights out.
Loogie!
I don't watch spring training, but I do see the highlights on social media.
Stop it.
And they look good.
No, he is right. It is 1-0, though. Because Max Fried is not pitching
right.
Opening day in Clay Holmes.
But again, it did. It doesn't matter. So
no, it really doesn't.
You can't really count it.
If you
it's
think,
like maybe a half a victory.
And honestly, not jokes aside, but I think if Shawman and I was healthy, he'd be the opening day starter because he was viewed as the head of the table, the tribal chief, and the symbolism of opening day. I think Shawman and I earned last year being the leader of this pitching staff. If he was healthy, I do think he'd be getting the ball, but Holmes has earned it.
And keep this in mind about Manaea, because I agree with you, and that's why I said to Mendy when he was on, when are you going to announce Shawman and I, because I completely agree with your assessment. On opening day last year, did anybody in their right mind think that Sean Manaea would turn into the New York Mets ace? And the answer is no. And he did.
Yeah.
So as we begin this new baseball season, and I think this works for the Yankees as well, you never know who come October we're talking about as the ace of a team. Could it be Clay Holmes? I hope so. Could it be Griffin Canning because the Mets...
Stop.
Why not?
Acknowledge me.
Why not? It could just be Sean Manaea again. So there you go. Breaking news. Clay Holmes atop the Met rotation. He is starting opening day. The guy who starts the second game of the year is likely to start the first game at home. For those that are thinking about that. Now we'll get to some of your phone calls, 888-808-1019, including a Russell Wilson cringe list that we put together as the Giants are meeting with Russell Wilson today. And part of the criticism that he faces is that he's quote-unquote cringe. So we did a lot of research and we collected some of his cringiest moments. Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. How are you, Vin?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's
up? So, Evan, right before I make my point, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you'll remember, but we were supposed to talk this week, but you had to move some things around.
Yes, I apologize for that, but we could talk.
No, it's okay.
I think I told my assistant, because I have an assistant on Instagram, that any day at like 12:30, we will hook it up and we will pod. Let's go, baby.
All right, we'll make it work. So, yeah, me and my partner, we actually work for the DOE, so we're just looking for a day off to get on with you.
You got it, baby. I'll be there.
Appreciate you. So the Clay Holmes thing, for guys like Marash and McPherson that obviously are going to troll the Mets fans like us, it would be so great for Clay Holmes to make the opening day start for the Mets and do it in Houston and dominate a team that their team has been batted around by for years now.
You know what I wonder about, Vinny? Because obviously Clay Holmes being effective is just great for the Mets, and it's great for their rotation. If you're a Yankee fan, how are you going to view Clay Holmes as a starter being good if he is good? Because the Yankees never even considered moving him to the rotation, so it's not somebody you necessarily lost. It's just another team taking a gamble on a player that you used in a very different role. So are you going to be like bitter, angry, mad, whatever it is?
I don't think so. I think if Luis Severino would have turned into like this super ace for the Mets, that would have been more frustrating than Clay Holmes. Because Clay Holmes, he felt like a failed starter because he started his career in Pittsburgh. He started, what, 3 games or so in his first season, and then he quickly got moved into a relief role. And so to us as a Yankee, he was always a relief.
Right.
He was always a relief pitcher.
That's it.
And you never really thought anything other than that. So I think this is more of a testament. I think even Yankee fans would have to pay respect to Jeremy Hefner and what the Mets pitching lab has done, because we already saw it with Seve, right? We saw it with now we're seeing it with Clay, and it feels like they just have this unique ability to get the best out of pitchers,
so
especially starting pitchers.
Then what would that cause a Yankee fan to
I don't think it's anger.
I don't think it should, honestly, and I'm not a Yankee fan, so I'm just speaking just based on the facts. I think it should cause no emotion. Like, I would almost look at Clay Holmes as just another player.
It's more like a missed opportunity that you didn't even think of.
Right, and they didn't consider it, because Clay was asked, did you talk to the Yankees about converting to a starter? And he said no.
And by the way, whose idea was it? Was it Clay's idea? Hey, Mets, I think I want to try to be a starting pitcher. Or was it the Mets going to Clay and saying, we like your stuff, we want to add a couple of pitches, and we think we can convert you to a starter?
Numerous teams, including the Mets, saw his stuff and saw his potential as a starter and brought it up to his agent, who then brought it up to Clay Holmes, who's like, sure.
Right.
You know, why the hell not? So it actually came from teams, not just the Mets, but the Yankees weren't one of them. So look, I can't speak for Yankee fans, but my assumption would be you shouldn't have any emotion towards Clay Holmes.
I botched it again.
I don't think it was a botch it again. I think it was just... I think it's more...
That's funny, though.
Like, Clay Holmes, honestly, he was in no man's land. Because he's not a closer.
Well, he was.
But he's
until
not.
He wasn't.
But he's not, because he wasn't good at it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He was until they took him away from that role.
He just didn't have elite stuff. It's not like he was throwing 97 and blowing guys away. It was, all right, I'm just going to pepper around the edges and try to get you to ground out the second base.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think if Holmes sucks, all right, let's say he starts opening day, he's terrible, and this failed experiment goes awry, which is possible, right?
Cost you $13 million.
I think then I could see the Yankee fan, and I probably would join in if I was a Yankee fan, just laughing, pointing and laughing, like, ha-ha, losers. But if he's great, I wouldn't even be annoyed because we weren't considering him in that role.
That's right.
So that would be the way I'd view it. Let's go to Sonny and Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
All's good.
A couple of giant points, and then a very intriguing question, if you let me finish at the end. First of all, BT, you were right about Kurt Warner understanding the assignment. I actually
Which one do you think is BT right now, Tiki or me? Because he did work with him.
Right. Tiki, sorry, I called him the other
one. That makes sense. Okay.
It's all good.
Anyway, I met him actually at the very beginning of the season at Bergdorf Goodman Men's Store. You know where that is, right, Tiki?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I know Evan doesn't probably, but
no, I zero clue.
Yeah, it's a high-end men's store in Manhattan on 59th and 5th. The suits go for like $10,000, $15,000.
Wow.
Anyway, I noticed his wife first, because you remember when he was with the Rams, they showed her a million times on TV.
Right.
She had that blonde, spiky hair, so I saw her. Then I had to look around, and Kurt Warner was standing right next to me, and shoots myself. I saw him, a big Giant fan. And he said he was there to mentor the young quarterback. So, Tiki, you were right on with that. As far as the quarterback situation, listen, the Giants tipped their hand by offering Stafford a 2-year deal. So that tells you that kind of draft Ward or Sanders. So they're going to bet their franchise quarterback on a second or third round pick. So the intriguing question is, if they do not do that, do you think they will not draft a quarterback and go with, say, a Rodgers and try to win, you know, this year for the next 2 years and wait for their quarterback? Is that a possibility?
I mean, anything I think is a possibility. I think they are going to, even if it's not, if they can't get one of the kids at the top, so I really think it's Cam Ward. If they can't get him, I think they're still going to draft a quarterback and a project. Because no matter how you look at it, all of these kids are projects. We said this a little bit earlier in the show. I don't think any of them are going to come in and just take the league by storm. I don't think we haven't seen that kind of success from these kids in college. And so I don't know if it's going to necessarily translate immediately to the NFL. So the veteran is going to be necessary to help them, but also to play right now. So I think anything is really on the table, but I don't see them not taking a quarterback this year.
The veteran that is on the table right now is the veteran they're meeting with reportedly today in Russell Wilson. And one of the criticisms that Russ faces from all corners is that he's quote-unquote cringe. That is the criticism that Russell Wilson faces. So here at Evan and Teague, we did some research and we decided to pull the 5 cringiest things that Russell Wilson has done. So let's start things off with his imitation of his former head coach, Pete Carroll, in which he dressed up like Pete Carroll and then tried to imitate Pete Carroll. Take a listen.
So we're here, Seattle Children's. Got a real cool, thing going on. I'm going to go see some kids and go Hawks, you know. I'm Pete Carroll, and we're always competing. Our guys are real, real fantastic players. And these kids are absolutely fantastic. And as you can see, I got my game gear on. Got my Monarchs. You trace me. See ya.
How cringy would you put that one as? That's a bit cringe?
That's not a big cringe.
Not a big cringe?
That's actually kind of entertaining.
Really? Yeah. Oh, you're warming up to Russ, aren't you?
Where was that?
Where what? He was in Seattle, obviously, because Pete was his head coach.
Yeah.
And he was in front of, like, a hospital, which was interesting.
So what was the context he was doing?
I don't know, but he had, like he really looked like him.
Was he at, like, practice?
I'm not...
Or is he doing this on his own, just to...
Just to screw around? Yeah. Just to show off his Pete Carroll imitation? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like, was he goaded into doing this, or was this something he just did?
I don't know.
Because if he just did it, then that's kind of cringe.
Oh, okay. So that's where the context matters.
Yes.
Tommy, where'd you put that on the cringe list?
No, that wasn't cringy at all. I actually found that pretty entertaining
and
funny.
Unless it was just him randomly doing it.
It could also have been Halloween. He was dressing up as Pete Carroll.
Oh, maybe. I know what's going on right now.
Maybe.
These guys are accepting that Russ is coming to the Giants. And all of a sudden, the things that were cringy.
No. I promise you, at least 2 of these next 4 are going to be very cringy.
Well, I'm bringing out the heavy hitter now. I'm bringing out to me what is one of the cringiest things. And, of course, this is famous for those that are aware of it. This is the Mr. Unlimited cringe.
I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you got to be unlimited. You know, you got to have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. How about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Major cringe.
That's major cringe.
Major. Who was that? Was that Ciara?
That was Ciara. That doesn't eliminate the cringe, by the way.
You know what's interesting about that little piece we just listened to? If he did that seriously, you know what I mean? Instead of being Mr. Unlimited and just said, you know what, people?
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes we get put down in life and we have doubts in our minds. But if we just tell ourselves we are unlimited, we can achieve whatever it is we want to achieve. I don't care what setbacks you have. I don't care what obstacles face you. Believe that you are unlimited in everything that you can do. If he did it seriously, that would have been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But it's cringy because he's like, Mr. Unlimited. Yeah. You do it, man. Just deliver it. Deliver it straight, and it's awesome.
Would you agree, Tommy, that's cringy, or are you completely on board with everything Russ does?
As someone that has several alter egos, I appreciate the attempt, but it was super corny. Right. The delivery was awful. Shut up, negative Tommy.
Now, this one, help us out with, T, because we're going to go inside the huddle.
Yes. Right?
And you can tell us if this is cringy or not as a teammate of his. You're in the huddle with Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And let's say he starts singing in the huddle. So here's Russell Wilson mic'd up, singing a little bit.
I'm going to let it shine. Hey, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Woo! Let's go get it, baby. Let's go do it. Come on. That was the Baptist version. That was the Southern Baptist version right there.
I don't mind that at all.
That's I can't even tell you.
I think that's great.
You think that's great?
Yeah.
Did Eli ever do that?
No, he did not.
Okay.
Got a pretty good voice there.
Did Kerry Collins ever do that?
No.
Okay.
Kerry Collins would just yell at everybody. It was awesome.
All right, here's another one in the huddle. Again, tell us if this would be cringy, because here he's trying to pump his teammates up. See this one.
Answer right here for you, fellas. We're going to answer right here for you. Let's go to work.
No, that's fine.
That's all good so far.
That's all good.
All right.
Hey, if he would have done his unlimited like that, it would have been awesome.
Right. All right. Here's my last one because Tiki's been okay with most of these outside of the unlimited one.
Mm-hmm.
How about if he brought back the unlimited one but tried to do it in various languages?
Oh Lord.
How about that?
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Hey, babe, how they say that in French?
Unlimited.
Okay, okay. Pate. Yo. I didn't say that thing in Fiji, bro.
Unlimited.
What they say in German?
Unbegrenzt.
Spanish? Elementaro. Yeah, elementaro.
You got to lose the unlimited thing.
Oh,
that was corny.
He's not bringing that here?
No.
Now, the other thing he does, which drives fans nuts, I don't mind it because Pete Alonso does it, so I'm good with it. You know how after, like, Pete does an interview, he'll say LFGM?
Yes.
Okay. That's his phrase, LFGM. And Met fans love it. LFGM. So when Russ was in Seattle, he did a whole Go Hawks.
Yeah.
Every interview would end with Go Hawks. Here's an example from the Manning cast. He was on the Manning cast, and he gives you his little Go Hawks.
Great show, man. You guys have done an amazing job with Manning cast. It's an honor to be on here with both of you.
Appreciate
all right,
it,
pal.
Man. Have a good
all
season,
right.
man.
I'll see you guys. Yeah, appreciate you guys. Go Hawks.
All right. Just ends with the Go Hawks. Very innocent.
It's kind of collegey.
Very collegey.
Yeah.
He goes to Denver, and this is where it got very, very... He would end it with, let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. And it pissed off Bronco fans. I'm telling you, right? It pissed everyone. That's when I think it really gained steam as, what's wrong with this guy? Why does he have to say, let's ride? It's 45-3.
Well, is it a thing?
Let's ride is a thing, but he's pandering. That clearly. Like, that's where it becomes corny and pandering. It's one thing, Pete, you've been here forever. It's fine. It's Pete. He's goofy.
Right.
Russ is pandering when he does that. It's obvious. It's transparent. And it's fake. And phony.
So that bothered you.
I think that's
that would bother me.
Now, in Pittsburgh.
Is Gallo here today?
Yes. Oh, I spoke to him about it. He confirmed everything.
He confirmed that it's cringy for Bronco fans.
He does not like Russell Wilson.
Yes.
No, he didn't like it.
And particularly the Let's Ride thing.
That's right. And he let the Let's Ride, the Broncos country Let's Ride shtick, stay in Denver. I think in Pittsburgh it was like, here we go. Kind of like, here we go, Steelers. Hmm. What does he do here? Do we have an approved Go Big Blue? I think it's going to be Go Big Blue.
It's got to be Go Big Blue.
Go Big Blue!
Unlimited.
As long as it's not that.
I think he's going to whip out a Go Big Blue. And it will feel very pander-ish.
No, I mean, it's Big Blue.
It's like Mick Foley. It's great to be here in Huntington, Long Island. Come on, man. I know you're a Long Island guy, but it's pandering.
Yeah,
Russ.
But think about it, Tommy. When you're in Huntington, Long Island, you cheer and love it. You are a Giants fan. Once he starts saying, I love you, Big Blue, you are going to fall hook, line, and sinker
for
it, just like all Giants
fans.
He
loved the Bronco fans. He loved the Seattle fans. He loved the Pittsburgh fans. You don't have to love every single. Give me something else, Russ. Mm. Don't recycle
so what do you
your
want
material.
Him to say?
What's he going to say?
Don't say anything. It comes off as pandering. You're a Seahawk. That's your team. You won there. That's fine. Leave it in Seattle. You got to freshen up the act a little bit.
Is that you saying?
Go Hawks.
Well, I mean, I have my act here. If I were to move on, I would probably freshen up the act.
It is a new baseball season. Shouldn't you change the act for 2025 compared to 2024?
Positive Tommy, as you know, is unkillable. So I'm not. I think we're positive Tommy sticking around.
Okay.
I won't lead us.
Russell Wilson is cringy, but I do have to defend him. If he can win games and not alienate himself in the locker room, which I don't think he'll do.
No.
I think the issues in Seattle and why people started to resent him in Seattle was because it was for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
There was success and maybe a battle over who's getting the credit for success.
Right.
So I think in the short term, whether it's here in New York or even last year in Pittsburgh, I don't think he's like a problem.
No, you know what I mean? I don't think he's a problem. The only issue that became an issue was the I want an office on the executive level.
Yeah, that's
in Denver. And that was bad.
Yeah.
And
Dave's isn't going to allow that, you're saying?
Hell no.
We'll get back to your calls on Russell Wilson, the Giants quarterback. Clay Holmes is the Mets opening day starter. And are Yankee fans actually going to be resentful if Clay Holmes is any good? Less than 2 weeks away from the start of the baseball season, the Yankees opening up in the Bronx against the Brewers, the Mets opening up in Houston against the Astros. If you're just tuning in, the Mets did announce their opening day starter. That will be Clay Holmes. Aaron Boone has not announced his Yankee opening day starter, but something very exciting is happening right here on WFAN today that you may not even be aware of. And this was always something as a kid I looked forward to so much. That first time I could turn on WFAN and listen to a baseball game. And back in the day when I was growing up, obviously it was the Met station, so it was Bob Murphy and Gary Cohen back then. But for the last, I think now we're at about 12 years, we are the flagship station for the reigning and defending and undisputed American League champion New York Yankees. And so tonight at 6:30 p.m., right after our show is over, it is the WFAN. It is the Dave Sims. It is the Yankees 2025 debut right here on the Fan. So you will get all the action. We'll get to hear Dave Sims, who I played these clips a while ago, but he was awesome in Seattle for the last basically two decades. And now we are going to hear Dave Sims' brilliance. So tonight's Yankee game is on the radio. It's the first game we're airing this season. It is the Yankees against the Phillies, and the coverage will begin. Really just the play-by-play, no pregame show. We'll take you right up there until 6:30, and you will get to hear the voices of the legendary Susan Waldman and the newest member of our family, even though he was always in our family, but then he left and he came back to our family, the great Dave Sims.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing him. He's so unique, obviously, from John Sterling, who retired last year after the postseason. Well, he retired, then he came back for the postseason, but then ultimately retired. But Dave is such a cool dude, man. He's been around a couple of times. We've seen him in studio here, and I'm looking forward to this this game. I'll actually listen to it on the way home, even though it's a spring training game. Doesn't mean anything, but just to hear his cadence, because we've only heard it in Seattle. I wonder what unique Yankee, little nuances he's going
to
bring.
I look forward to it. Should be very exciting. And pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies, you may say, why am I bringing up who's pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies? It may be an audition. Because the guy pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies is clearly available. The Phillies would trade him to the Yankees if they wanted a depth starting pitcher. And that guy is familiar with New York. So since we're all good with Yankees coming to Mets and Mets coming to Yankees, pitching for the Phillies tonight, former All-Star, Taiwan Walker. just saying. I'm just saying. You never have enough starting pitching. And trust me, the Phillies would deal you Taiwan Walker. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Let's go to Diego. He's calling from East Meadow. What's up, Diego?
Hey, what's up, boys?
All's good.
Yo.
So, hear me out. If Brian Daboll is supposed to be this quarterback whisperer and this great offensive genius, then wouldn't it make sense for him to bring in Jameis Winston, who is only 31, who's not only a one-year QB, he can be here for possibly 2 years. So instead of stretching for a quarterback this year, which there doesn't seem to be like that one guy that's a unanimous, you know, franchise QB. The strength of this team right now is Dexter Lawrence and what they've done on the defense.
Right.
So bring in Abdul Carter or that DT from Michigan and just kick the can down the road one more year and see what happens. Maybe there's another Matthew Stafford situation next year. But it just seems to me like he's desperate. And instead of trying to figure out the QB situation, he's trying to bring in an already made QB by someone else instead of doing something with lesser talent.
Right. So you're suggesting instead of all of us clamoring for Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, you go get a serviceable player that you hope you can coach the interceptions out of and say like Jameis Winston and then wait for another year. I mean, it's not a bad idea, and to be honest with you, the more that this veteran QB carousel getting, you know, jerked around is going on, it kind of feels more plausible, to be honest with you.
The idea is solid. The problem with the idea, and I don't like, when I argue with my wife, I say this, so this is very similar. I don't like harping on the past. You know, yes, I screwed up, hon. Yes, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But let's talk about how that's not going to happen ever again.
Right.
Why do we have to spend 10 minutes on
it? Or just let it go.
Or just let it go.
I have more confidence in Zach Wilson than I do Justin Herbert.
Right. Why did you play that draft? That had nothing to do with anything we were talking about.
You were wrong. So I'm proving that that wasn't the best to take.
Okay. Fair enough. So what I'm saying here is I don't want to get nuts about mistakes the Giants made last year. Because one thing Giant fans can also do is get nuts about, hey, this is why I wanted to fire Shane and Daboll now.
Yeah.
New administration, cleaner thing. I don't want to rehash the past. But his point about bringing in somebody that Brian Daboll can almost fix or develop, It pisses me off because that's what I thought last year was such a great opportunity to do, especially with the questions around Daniel Jones, which is why one of the names I brought up to a year ago, I'm like a soothsayer. You got to give it time. I'll be right eventually, was Justin Fields. Because the way I looked at it was you got a quarterback coming off an injury. Why not bring someone else in who you can kind of, because I think it's too late to do his plan.
Well, the problem with the Justin Fields take is that at the time, the Bears wanted a second rounder.
Yeah, they were asking for too much. 100%.
Maybe, did they even ask for a first round? I can't, whatever it was.
The price was too high.
It was way too high. And then ultimately, after everybody moved and Drew Lock signs with the Giants and all the other free agents are places and teams have shored up their quarterback situation, the Bears are like, oh, crap, we're stuck with him. We're drafting a quarterback.
Right.
We just got to give him away.
But my point is, like, okay, forget Fields.
The Giants couldn't wait to wait. The Giants couldn't afford to wait.
Couldn't wait on Justin Fields. That's one example. I'll give you a second example because it's the one that we're talking about a lot today, and that's Jameis Winston was available.
Mm-hmm. So was Sam Darnold.
So is, right.
And Sam Darnold was cheap.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, one of those guys in a year like last year would have made more sense than this year because I think this year they're just on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I don't think Daboll has time to like, hey, let me see if I can unbreak Jameis Winston. Like, it's a great idea in theory, but guys, the owner said they're on the hot seat without saying they're on the hot seat.
Right.
So I think the plan is sound if it was done last year, not this year.
Right. And by the way, I know we're talking about hot seats and what the owner expects. And we're saying it's got to be a winning season. It might not be a winning season.
It's just got to be better.
It just might need to be, yes, we lost more games than we won, meaning we're under 500. But, man, our team is getting better and we can see it. Like, right. we lose three of those games by 2 points.
Yeah.
Right? Less than one score. Game-winning field goal the wrong way type of thing. It's not like getting your butt kicked like the Giants did a lot last year. I mean, they were just uncompetitive in some of those games.
Mara kept it open-ended. I need to be in a better mood next year.
Right.
There needs to be hope moving into the offseason, and that can be defined a lot of different ways. Let's go to Jacob in Fairhaven. How you doing today, Jacob?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate
wanted to
you, man.
Talk about, yeah, no problem. I just want to talk about your take on Clay Holmes. Listen. As a Yankee fan, long time, young, I'm 23,
yep.
Suffering Yankee fan, which I know might piss the Mets fans off.
That's fine. I understand it. It actually makes sense. I respect it.
You know, I understand where you guys are coming from, where the Yankees didn't really use Clay Holmes as a starter. There was never really a moment where we Yankee fans or anyone really thought, oh, yeah, this guy's a starter. No.
Right.
But as a Yankee fan, when somebody – we see this time and time again where we have pitching or other players that go to other teams and they are more successful, it does not matter the circumstances. In my experience and from other Yankee fans that I know, if that player does better on another team, we get upset. And we get upset because – unfortunately, there is a level of entitlement, and it's passed down from my dad.
Right.
It's passed down through the family of we demand excellence.
I get
demand
that.
Winning
right, but Jacob, we're just telling you you don't need to be upset. Like, why would you be upset? You didn't want Clay Holmes anymore. Am I right?
Listen, I'm not saying it's rational. No, like, you're totally right. I'm not saying it's rational.
Okay. All right.
I don't think it's rational. But in the same vein, it's just the reality is Yankee fans were crazy.
No, it's true. I think all fan bases, especially New York fan bases, are somewhat crazy like that.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is no Met fan wanted Clay Holmes anymore. They didn't see a role for him.
I think Yankee fans wanted him back as a reliever, potentially.
Really?
I don't think starter was ever brought up. Like, when it was mentioned that the Mets were considering him as a starter, it was shocking to everybody, myself included. So I think it was viewed.
I
think it was viewed differently as a reliever. Like, were Yankee fans cramming to have him back? Not necessarily, but I don't think they would have minded if he came back. He was an all-star.
No, I think they wanted. Yeah, but they wanted an upgrade,
and they did. They got Devin Williams.
Right.
They upgraded. As good as Clay is, we'd all agree if we're comparing them, Devin Williams is a much more accomplished and better relief pitcher than Clay Holmes is.
Right.
And so they did upgrade.
Especially, I mean, the thing you don't know, though, is what Luke Weaver is going to be this year. We knew what he was last year, at least right. at the end. But essentially, Luke Weaver is replacing Clay Holmes.
Can I give you a wild comparison? And I want to use it for you, Tommy, as a Met fan.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Beatty sucks this year. The Mets release him. And you're like, great, I'm so done with Brett Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're done with him. Brett Beatty then immediately signs a minor league contract with the Yankees to be a flame-throwing right-handed relief pitcher. Hear me out on this. He then quickly makes the adjustment, and next year, Brett Beatty's the best reliever in baseball. Are we as Met fans going to get pissed at the Mets that Brett Beatty became this all-star reliever for the Yankees?
I'm not going to be pissed. But here is why.
Because, what would you possibly say?
Because it's so ridiculous. I know Tyler Naquin, former Met, is now a pitcher. But most guys are not going to, you know, all of a sudden become a big league pitcher after being a, you know, an offensive player or
Anthony
a position
Gose
player.
Has done it. He's in Met camp right
sure,
now.
Sure, sure, sure.
Rick Ankiel did it.
Here's where I would be mad as a Yankee fan. And
No. Answer my question.
I just answered it.
You would be. No, you didn't.
I said I wouldn't be pissed.
Not be pissed.
How could I possibly be pissed?
Okay. So you would not be pissed.
I did say that, but I was making a point.
Yeah. I got confused. I wanted to hear your answer.
I said so I wouldn't be pissed.
You would not be pissed.
I would not be pissed.
Now, before you give your other answer, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, Clay Holmes
Not really, because it's so out of left field.
No, Clay Holmes starting is out of left field? No one talked about it.
He's a pitcher. It's not like your second baseman, probably, this year.
Becoming
starting second baseman, becoming a pitcher. Even though Donovan Walton could be.
See? But I'm only saying that Holmes moving to the rotation, like take Seth Lugo, for example. I promise, I'll let you make your point, but this is interesting. Seth Lugo was a reliever for the Mets who wanted to start, started a little bit, was in the bullpen. Finally, the Mets let him go. He becomes a starter.
Yeah.
Becomes a Cy Young caliber starting pitcher. That's different because we all talked about it. We all debated it. Should Lugo start? Should Lugo relieve? Lugo start? It was a thing. Clay Holmes converting into a starter was like a slap across the face when Joel Sherman reported that. No one talked about it, at least around here. It was a stunner. So to be annoyed about something that no one was ever even considering, that's why I brought up the Beatty extreme comparison, because it's almost the same thing.
Yeah, but I think Clay Holmes, and I started talking about this earlier, Clay Holmes was, it almost felt like his relieving days. He was just going to always just be this middle reliever now.
Right.
He wasn't ever going to get another chance to be a closer, but he's not old enough to just put out the pasture. So why not?
He was one of the better relievers on the market this year.
I know that, but who was going to trust him to get that final out?
Not to save games, you're right, but I know as a Met fan, I wanted him as the eighth inning guy. Mm-hmm. I looked at him as one of the great bullpen options that were out there. So that's the way I viewed it. What was your point?
Yeah, so what I would say is if I was a Yankee fan, where I would be annoyed if you look at the tenure of Brian Cashman, one of the biggest knocks on him is starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You give all this money and all these years to a guy like Max Fried, where you had Clay Holmes already on your roster, more value, you sign him for less years. They don't have the foresight, perhaps maybe the Mets do, or even another team that wanted to make the Holmes a starter, where they're still stuck in the give him 9 years, give him a ton of money, instead of being creative on a guy you already had on your roster. You had Clay Holmes. If the Mets turn Clay Holmes into a great starter, if I'm a Yankee fan, I'd go, we had this guy under our nose. Okay. How come nobody saw this?
But let me push you back on this one. Because I totally get your point. And the Yankees are operating very differently than the Mets when it comes to acquiring pitchers.
Well,
they've handed out a lot of big contracts. David Stearns is allergic to that.
You're right.
He ain't doing it.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes, Luis Heel, right? Like, think about who you had here. Max Fried.
They had enough starters.
Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
Right? Clark Schmidt. Now, and obviously, I always forget his
Will
name.
Warren?
No, not Will Warren. He's
Marcus Stroman.
Marcus Stroman.
You forgot Marcus Stroman.
I always forget Marcus Stroman.
That's all right.
Because we almost traded him in our minds before the season started. But Stroman, like, you can't. How are you moving Clay Holmes into that group? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but the other thing.
Whereas the Mets need starting pitching.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I disagree with what you said. First of all, got the best out of Clay Holmes, the Yankees. I have to give them credit for that. He was a failed reliever with the Pirates.
Yeah.
And then he came to the Yankees and became one of...
failed starter,
right.
Failed reliever.
Luke Weaver was a failed starter, and he turned into one of the better relievers last year. So right. I think the Yankees have done a good creative job with developing some pitching. But here's the other issue. The biggest issue I have with the Yankees and Clay Holmes as a starter. I want to walk you into a world. It's the middle of November.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors are coming out. And a rumor comes out. Joel Sherman, same report about Clay. The Yankees are very interested in moving Clay Holmes to the rotation. Okay. They're interested in re-signing him and moving him to a starting pitching role. Could you imagine the reaction Yankee fans would have had?
Yeah.
He would have gone nuts.
Right.
The
Mets. At the expense of who? That's what it would have come down to.
I don't
to.
Even think it matters. Like, if they came right. out with an idea, and by the way, I think this works for the Mets, too. If the Mets had a failed reliever, and all of a, not even a failed reliever, but a guy that lost the closer's role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if all of a sudden in 1997, the Mets announced Mel Rojas is going to be a starting pitcher, we would have lost our minds. This environment, the Bronx, that is, was never a place for Clay Holmes to be a converted starting pitcher. There was too much baggage. There was going to be too much criticism. And that's why I think any criticism, if this works for the Mets at the feet of the Yankees, is unfair.
Right.
It was never real for them. It would have never even been smart. It would have not gotten through the PR test.
Right.
And so...
and they didn't need him.
They didn't need him. No, I agree. That's the other part. So I think any Yankee fan, and I understand our young Yankee fan caller's point about, well, they're entitled, people will bitch. People can bitch about stuff. It doesn't mean they're right. And in this case, I'm going to defend the New York Yankee fan. If Clay Holmes turns into Cy Young, first of all, if that happens, Tiki I, Lugie Schoen will be rich. Because we got a big-ass bet going out there for that. That is not a knock on the Yankees, nor should it be considered like this Yankee disaster. The Yankee disaster is Juan Soto winning 7 MVPs with the Mets.
Right. Right. That's because, well, I don't even know if it's a Yankee disaster.
But you know what I mean. Like, yeah. That's just a great player and you lost him.
Right.
Let's go to Sam and Trenton. What's up, Sam?
What's up, T? What's up, Evan?
All's good, man.
What's up?
Speaking about big-ass bet, so February 14th, I got Clay Holmes at plus 20,000, and I just opened up my handy-dandy FanDuel sportsbook, and he is now down to plus 12,000.
Oh, my God. Look at you. You're ahead of the game.
Wow.
This is where we
Let's
screwed
do
up.
It, guys.
I know. I know.
Let's do it, fellas.
All right.
Now, here's the question, Sam, because I don't know if you've got guts, yes. Or maybe it's the opposite of guts, smarts. If he gets off to a good start and the app that you're using offers you a very lucrative buyout, will you accept the buyout or will you say, let's ride, Russell Wilson style?
Evan, I'm going to need Tommy John smashing that accept button and taking that payout.
That's a good answer.
Right.
Money isn't everything. It's the only thing.
The reality of the Clay Holmes bet, and this is why it's tough for us to do it as one bet, because we're four different people that may disagree about this.
Right.
Like, Tommy's the kind of guy that's going to say, let it ride. He's going to win the Cy Young. Right. He's better than Max Fried. I'm the kind of guy that says, wait a second. We bet $100 and they're offering us $3,000? Yeah, I'm out. I'll see you guys later.
Right. I could use that to bet on something else.
Yes.
That I'm more confident in.
So even though we have not made this bet yet, which is a problem because the numbers keep changing,
right.
I think we have to do separate bets so that each of us has an option to opt out or let it ride.
So, again, this is a bet you can't make in New York, right? So it's got to be in New Jersey. So
correct.
I got to go through my main man, Vinny Bag of Donuts, and unfortunately, Vinny doesn't offer cash outs.
First of all, we're not going through Vinny Bag of Donuts.
Why not?
Tiki lives in New Jersey.
Yes.
I'm driving to New Jersey at some point in the next few days. I'm just going to bet it when we're in Jersey.
But we go through Slippery Pete for the ratings. Now you don't want to go through Vinny for the
No,
the
I'm going bet? Through the paid sponsor, FanDuel.
who does offer cash outs?
Yes.
And in that case, it depends on the size. Where are we going here? 100, 25? Like, what are we thinking?
Well, that's the real question. Right. So, Clay Holmes' odds to win the National League Cy Young.
Do you have him in front of you right now?
We're not in New Jersey. So, unfortunately, that we have to ask Vinny Bag of Donuts to send us the updated numbers.
I'll text him now.
You can't even see the numbers when you're in New York.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's that's bizarre.
You can't see it on the app. I can maybe look on Twitter or something
right,
and try
right.
to find it.
So, if we each bet $25 and they're offering you hundreds of dollars, it's tough to just say, nah, let it ride. I know there's a big reward at the end of the window, but it's, or at the end of the rainbow, it's a Cy Young vote. Like, he could have a great year and not win
and
it because Zach
it.
Wheeler
right.
exists.
Right.
So
I think you have to cash out.
You got to cash out.
If he's trending as number, I don't know, 3 or 4. Midway through the season, you got to cash
That's
out.
That's right. I'm hoping on opening day he goes 6 scoreless. I'll look for the cash out right away. March 28th, I'll be looking at it saying, where's it at? Let's go to Chris in East Hanover. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Just happy Friday. Let's go Johnny's later. I was lukewarm on Russell Wilson, but after hearing that unlimited thing, I can't get it out of my head now. I won't have to do it with the guy.
That's the only one that bothers me, Chris. That's the one that drives me insane.
I'm going to be going to bed singing, Mr. Unlimited. But, you know.
Unlimited. You know,
I think Tommy DeVito gives us a better chance to win. I mean, Russ, you said, Zeke, you said it earlier. Russell, I mean, he really has fallen off.
Right.
I mean, you know Aaron Rodgers can get guys the ball. You know he's going to be able to execute. Russ had an issue executing the whole second half of the Pittsburgh season last year.
No, you're right. And look, he doesn't turn the ball over. That's the good thing, Chris. But you just feel like there's certain plays that he should make and he's not going to make, or at least not even should. He used to make that he's not going to make anymore. And is that really what you want? And so I hate this position the Giants are in. Every time I think about it, I have a different opinion on what they should do.
It's not a great
situation. Which is frustrating.
Yeah, it's not a great situation.
Especially because we're now in a position to have to wait for one of these veterans to want us. Right, it's not like we really want this guy. Let's go get him. It's this guy also has to make a decision whether he wants us. It's a two-way street, and that makes it hard.
I also, and this is just me speaking. I'm not saying Joe Shane's doing this. I look at this situation differently because of what the owner said. So I'm following the script of, hey, they better win some games.
Yeah.
If this was, let's say, a first-year administration in which I was, or even not the first year, but it was early on where I wasn't worried about a guy losing their job or that not being a factor, I think the way I would have approached it is the way the Jets are approaching
it,
which is I would have brought in Justin Fields as my lottery ticket and said, and obviously I'm consistent about that because I wanted him last year for the Giants, but we talked about it. The Bears' asking price was high. It didn't drop too late. I get all that. But I was intrigued by using Fields as my lottery ticket and then letting the draft board come to me, where I'm investing in someone young who could be the answer, even though it's probably not, and I'm drafting someone, but I'm not stretching. I think, unfortunately, because of the spot the Giants are in, they're drafting a quarterback no matter what, whether they love the guy or not, and they've got to get a veteran in here who gives them a chance to win games because they got to win games.
Yes,
right. And I think that situation is what makes it worse.
It makes it perilous. You could easily make the wrong decision, and not only is your team going to stink, you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
And you're never going to have had a chance to fully draft and develop a quarterback, which is what I think every head coach and GM, especially in today's NFL, should have the right to do.
Here is somebody that would like to rip me, and that's okay. Lorenzo in Keyport did not like my Brett Beatty point. Lorenzo, why? I thought it was brilliant.
hello, Tiki.
What's up, Ed?
Well, I mean, pitchers get stretched out back and forth a lot. Where I think I would be, if I was a Yankee fan, which I'm not, I am a lifelong Mets fan and, unfortunately, a Brooklyn Nets fan back to the Mike Jaminski days.
But, oh, boy. The G-Man.
Yes. Yes.
That was a bit, by the way, Lorenzo, I hate to say this because Tiki may yell at me and ban me from the radio station. That was a hell of a tank job last night. That was a big-time L against Chicago that was much needed.
The Nets still in the league?
I approve it for the Nets.
I just assume when they lose and I try to pretend they didn't play. And so that way, I'd be really happy.
Suck.
The problem I would have as a Yankee fan, if I was one, was if other teams saw this, why didn't they see it? Or why didn't they consider it? If he didn't succeed as a closer, he was kind of in the middle, why not see that and say, well, let's throw him down to the minors to stretch him out?
Because my answer to that would be it wasn't a need for them.
Yeah.
Like, their bullpen needed Clay Holmes more than their rotation did.
Fair. A quick question. Tiki.
What's up?
Why is it that not one NFL player can use the water bottle themselves? Why do they have to have some 27-year-old intern that runs out and gives it the water bottle? It's the most perplexing thing I've ever seen.
You know, it's a good question. I think the answer, Lorenzo, honestly, is it because there's ice. Those things are, it's ice water. And so, unless it's freezing outside, there's condensation on it. And so if you pick it up and you have gloves on, you're going to get water on your hands. Now, you could easily just wipe it off, but I'm assuming that's what it is. That's a
I have, great question.
You're right. You see that all the time.
What a wonderful
Someone
question.
Just walks up to you and like puts like holds the water bottle right in front of your face. Yeah. Like, you want water? No, I'm good. Yeah, give me some water.
I would feel weird that way. Like, they're milking me. Like, I need to drink it myself.
Yeah.
I'm not a baby.
I don't remember what I used to do.
We're going to have to go back and look at old videos. I need to know. Was someone, putting the water in your mouth? Or were you like, give me the damn bottle?
I think I did it myself. I don't remember. It's funny.
More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. A reaction to Clay Holmes being the Mets opening day starter and Yankee fans' reaction to the possibility that this may work.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.